Our scripture reading this morning will come from two places, both of them from the book of Philippians. We as a church have been working our way through the book of Philippians, and we are up to this morning, Philippians 2, verses 14 through 18. But I'll also be reading, before that, I'll be reading Philippians 1, the first two verses. So Philippians 1, verses 1 and 2, and then Philippians 2, verses 14 through 18. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I'll be reading from Philippians 2, verses 14 through 18. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. We'll be focusing this morning on verse 16 of Philippians 2. The Apostle Paul begins his letter to the Philippians with pairs. Some of these pairs in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1 are very obvious. The most obvious ones are Paul and Timothy, the overseers and the deacons, and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is interesting about each one of these pairs is that they are all bound together in Jesus Christ. Paul and Timothy, he starts out his letter, bondservants of Christ Jesus. To all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons. Once again, the church of Christ bound together in Christ Jesus. And finally, in verse 2, God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, the first two persons of the Godhead, united together as one. And as we look at these pairs, we must also notice that not only are they bound together as separate pairs, but the pairs are bound together also in Christ Jesus. God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ are bound together with Paul and Timothy, Christ's servants here upon this earth. They are His servants. They carry on the ministry of Christ as they live here on this earth, and they are bound together with Him and united with Him. And not only are Paul and Timothy, Paul the apostle of Jesus Christ, bound to Him, but the saints in Philippi are bound to Christ Jesus and bound to Paul and Timothy. The saints are in Christ Jesus along with the officers of the church, bound together in Him. They are bound to Christ Jesus Himself, and as Paul begins his letter, he tells us that they are bound to Him, their apostle, whom God has sent to bring God's word to them and to raise up the church in Philippi. These pairs, God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, the apostle and the saints, are bound together as one. They are in union with one another as Paul begins his letter. Paul establishes the fact that they are one, and he repeats this theme time and time again in his letter. He comes back to the significance of this union and what it means for their lives. One such place that he picks up on this is chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. If you look at the end of verse 18 of chapter 1, Paul writes, "Yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance." What has happened to the Apostle Paul? Paul has been betrayed by his own people. They have accused him of stirring up trouble. They have turned him into the Romans, saying he is preaching something against of what they teach. Paul has been arrested. He has been placed in Rome. And now he is writing this letter to the Philippians from a Roman prison in chains. And not only has Paul faced the opposition of the Roman culture that is around him, but Paul also has struggled within his very own church. For as those who are preaching Christ, he acknowledges in verse 15, 16, and 17 of chapter 1, some of them are preaching Christ out of envy and rivalry against Paul. They have stirred up trouble for him. You see, the circumstances in Paul's life are difficult. The Philippians, a church that Paul has helped begin, are very concerned about the apostle himself. And so they are praying for him, praying that God will use these difficult circumstances in Paul's life for his salvation. Now notice what Paul has written there again in verse 19. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. You see how the prayers of the saints, the prayers of the Philippian saints that Paul is bound to, that Paul is united with, are working together with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. They are bound to Jesus Christ. They are in union with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the intercessor, isn't he? He is in heaven in the throne room of God. He is praying for Paul and interceding on his behalf. And the saints in Philippi are working alongside of the Spirit of Jesus Christ as they pray for Paul here on this earth. What is the evidence that Christ is interceding for Paul in his difficult circumstances? That the saints on earth are praying for him. Christ's saints who are united with Paul and are united with Christ. They work together with the Spirit of Jesus Christ to pray for the apostle that he will recognize that the circumstances of his life, the difficult circumstances, are for his salvation. Now, do you recognize what this means for the church? Your pastor prays for you. When he prays for you, he is united with Jesus Christ as he has come to know him. His prayers work alongside with Jesus Christ on your behalf. When the saints pray for their pastor, they are praying alongside of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, working together in unity with him. When the saints pray for one another, they are praying alongside with Jesus Christ. When you face difficult times and you hear that people are praying for you, how do they know that Christ is present, that Christ is with them? Because they're praying for you along with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. People today ask, well, I want a visible faith. I'm going through tough times. I need to see Christ right present with me. Well, Christ is present with you. He's present with you, with the saints, as they pray for you, as they care for you, as they are concerned about you. And the Apostle Paul acknowledges this and this great hope that he has. Despite the circumstances in his life, he writes at the end of verse 18, yes, I will continue to rejoice. Why does he rejoice? Because he knows that Jesus is interceding for him and he has the prayers of the saints. Those of whom he has union with are working together for his salvation. Well, now as we come to chapter 2, verse 16, the Apostle Paul is picking up on this theme once again, this union with Christ that he knows. He writes, as you hold out the word of life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. What does the apostle mean when he writes these words? In order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. The apostle is acknowledging to the Philippians that their behavior and what they are doing in their lives is not in testimony with their union with Christ Jesus. You see, the Philippians are suffering also. At the end of chapter 1, we have read that they are suffering like Paul. In verse 29 we read, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have." They are facing persecution. They are facing imprisonment. They are suffering for the cause of Christ at the hands of the culture around them. The city of Philippi was a Roman colony, just like the city of Rome, of which Paul currently is. And not only are they facing outside persecution, but in chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we read that they are also dealing with selfishness in their midst. Paul has to instruct them in verse 3, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others." Within the body are selfish people, people looking out for their own selves and not others, their own interests and not one another, not living in consistent union with one another, of which Paul has acknowledged at the beginning of this book. So what does the apostle have to tell them? Remember what we read in verse 14. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Within their midst is complaining and arguing. Why? Verse 15. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you are to shine like the stars in the universe. They are, as God's children, blameless and pure. They are children of God himself as they live their lives. They are to shine like the stars in a generation which is wicked and depraved around them. And complaining and arguing within their midst does nothing for their testimony as shining like the stars. And so as they live, he tells them at the beginning of verse 16, you are to hold out the word of life. You have come to believe in Christ. You are saved by him. And now as you live your life, you need to hold out that word of life. You need to hold it fast as you live your life. Make your life consistent with your testimony of Jesus Christ as your Savior, with your union with him and with the Apostle Paul. Why? Paul tells us at the end of the verse, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. When Paul writes of the day of Christ, he's writing of the final day. The day of Christ is the day when Christ returns. The day of Christ is the day when the dead will be raised, when everyone who has lived on this earth will appear before him, those living and those who have passed away, those who appear before the throne of Christ, who will be judged for what they have done. And on that day, the apostle writes, you must live this way, verse 16, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. You see, on the day of Christ, when Jesus returns, Christ Jesus will be there. And Paul is telling the Philippians that he's going to be there too. The Philippians will be there. All those who are united with Christ and his church. And Paul writes that if they continue in their behavior, if they continue to fail to hold fast to the word of life and to hold it before them, he will not be able to boast about that union on that day. It is almost as if the apostle is telling the Philippian Christians that if they fail to live their life consistent with their testimony in Christ Jesus, instead of boasting about his relationship with them, he will be embarrassed for what they have done. Yes, these are the Philippian Christians. Yes, Lord Jesus Christ, these are the ones that we've raised up, that I preached to in Philippi and have come to believe in you. Yes, they've come to acknowledge you as their Lord and Savior. but they failed to hold fast to that word. They failed in their life to live consistent with what they have testified to. They're united with you as a church, but they're arguing and complaining with one another. There's no boasting about that. It is almost as if everything the apostle has taught them, on that day it will be revealed that it was in vain. The apostle has taught them, do everything without complaining and arguing, verse 14. Did they do it? No. It was done in vain. It's almost as if there's a couple parents who are visiting someone's house, and they hear in the other room some loud screaming going on all of a sudden, or they hear something break, and everybody runs into the other room. The kids are all in the other room to find out what it was, and the parents find out that it was their son or it was their daughter who broke it. It was their son or their daughter who hit the other person that is now crying. And the parent looks at their son and daughter and they say, well, I love them. I acknowledge that they're mine. But my, am I disappointed that they have failed to learn and to do what I've been teaching them. That is what the apostle is telling us in verse 16 of Philippians chapter 2. On that day of Christ, he has preached and faithfully taught the Philippians. Christ is going to be there. Paul will be there. And those who have failed to hold forth that word of life, he will have no reason to boast and to say, yes, they have been faithful to that word. You see, Paul writes that he will be embarrassed. But even more, Christ will be embarrassed. Oh, he loves you. Oh, you have testified that he is your Savior and your Lord, and you believe that all your sins are forgiven. Yet in your life, you failed to live consistent with what he has taught and how he has demonstrated we should live. You see, the Lord Jesus has carefully preserved his word. The scriptures that we have, he has carefully preserved throughout thousands and thousands of years. The word of life is ever in your hands and ever before you. When you come to church to worship on Sunday, that word of life is preached before you. Can you imagine the enormous task that is upon your pastor, given the responsibility to preach that word of life faithfully before you? And he also will stand before the Lord Jesus. And if he has not been faithful in preaching that word, he too will disappoint. But even more so this morning, the apostle is acknowledging the responsibility of the saints. The saints who are in union with Christ Jesus himself. The saints that are his church, that have come to believe in him, that their sins are forgiven. They must hold out that word. They must hold on to their Savior and hold out with how they live their lives, making it consistent with their walk. And as they do that, as they are faithful in living that particular way, Paul writes in verse 16, in order that I, and ultimately the Lord Jesus, may boast on that day that his labor and what he accomplished was not done in vain. How important is your union with Christ? How does it affect your life each and every day? Does your life and what you are doing reflect that union? Or each and every day are you holding things and doing things which do not testify to that word holding forth before you and which would embarrass your Savior, of whom you enjoy that union with. The apostle is calling us to live each day for his word, to come to church on Sunday and to hear that word. How important that is, being put before us each week. To go to his word and to teach our children his word, so that they may know and have it before them as they live their lives. So that the Lord Jesus Christ may boast about his saints, may boast about his union with them as they live their lives, even now. That his labor, that his death and resurrection would be for his glory forever. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning with you. We see how important it is, Lord, to live out of that union each day of our lives. Help us, Lord, to hold forth your word. Help us, Lord, in our lives to live out that word, that it may be ever before us, that you may boast about our lives and about our union with one another, that you may cause us to turn from sin, which would cause embarrassment to you and embarrassment of this union, but that we may look forward to that day of Christ when we stand before you acknowledging that your word has ever been before us and our love for you is everlasting. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.